Well, welcome to this meeting, which originally was going to be a talk by Comrade Darrell Whitehead on the case against fracking. Unfortunately, Darrell had to drop out at the last moment, and it has since become a debate entitled Socialists and Fracking. And I think we've got two protagonists here. It's, if I'm right in thinking, Comrade Clayton, who's going to put a case against fracking, and Comrade Buick, who's going to put a case in favour of fracking, or at least giving reasons why there's no good reason why we shouldn't use it if necessary. They're going to speak each for about 15 minutes, after which I imagine there'll be contributions from the floor if that is the case. If anybody wants to say something, I'm sure you will. Not sure how the meeting is going to progress from then, but we'll see how it goes, and at some point, of course, we'll stop and have refreshments, as we normally do. So I'm going to ask Comrade Steve Clayton to start off the debate with his reasons why socialists should oppose fracking, or why we should have reservations about fracking, or whatever. Comrade Steve Clayton.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Okay, fracking and the Socialist Party. I mean, there's been a little bit of a debate in the party about it. There was an article in the Pathfinders column in the Socialist Standard in January 2013. There's also a film review of the American film Promised Land, which was about fracking. And in that review, the reviewer ended the review by saying, "Socialists argue that fracking is a mining technology, and if it can be made safe, and if we need it, we may use it in socialism." The reviewer was actually myself. Also, the subject of fracking was actually discussed at ADM in October 2013, and we showed the documentary film Gasland here at head office in March this year. And therefore we asked Comrade Whitehead to do this talk, but as David's just explained, it's now a debate. So, hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, is a technique designed to recover gas and oil from shale rock. It's a process of drilling down into the earth and pumping or blasting a pressurised mix of millions of gallons of water, which most of that is not recovered and therefore is wasted, millions of pounds of sand and thousands of gallons of chemicals. In fact, in America, I think they're using about 596 different chemicals, which include toxins and carcinogens, and these are put into deep wells to break up the layers of shale rock to release the natural gas inside and send it up to the head of the well. So I'm going to go through really the arguments against fracking, which are, I mean, pollution. Methane, heavy metals, carcinogen chemicals can escape and contaminate groundwater, drinking water near the fracking site. A 2011 University of Manchester report on shale gas, which was an updated assessment of environmental and climate change impacts, stated there was a clear risk of contamination of groundwater from shale gas extraction. The UK Environment Agency found flowback liquid from the Lancashire Shale contained, quote, notably high levels of sodium, chloride, bromide and iron, as well as higher values of lead. Earth tremors, earthquakes. Seismic impacts of fracking were evident when hydraulic fracking took place in Lancashire at an exploratory site. They actually stopped the fracking there after a magnitude 1.5 earthquake took place near Blackpool on the 27th of May 2011. And this was preceded by a magnitude 2.3 earthquake on the 1st of April 2011. An investigation concluded that it is highly probable that the hydraulic fracturing triggered the recorded seismic events. I'm not going to talk about America, but I'll just mention this fact. The US Geological Survey linked up to 50 earthquakes to fracking in Oklahoma, ranging in magnitudes from 1.0 to 4.0. Also, fracking has an impact on renewable energy. I mean, it threatens the renewable energy programmes, clean energy sources, and it undermines investment in these in offshore wind power, solar power, geothermal, tidal power things. I mean, in effect, the Severn Estuary tidal scheme was actually abandoned in 2010 when the coalition government came in. So fracking is actually distracting energy firms and governments from investing in renewable sources of energy and encouraging reliance on a continued reliance on fossil fuels. I mean, Friends of the Earth said, shale gas is not the solution to the UK's energy challenges. We need a 21st century energy revolution based on efficiency and renewables, not more fossil fuels that will add to climate change. Also, capital investment in shale gas could potentially displace offshore and onshore wind capacity. It is no coincidence that big firms like Shell and BP have moved away from renewables and into shale gas in recent years. Climate change and commitments to cutting emissions will be affected by pursuing the fracking of shale gas and oil. It's going to accelerate climate change. Shale gas is likely to be burnt in addition to coal, causing more impact on climate change. Replacing conventional fossil gas with shale gas to generate electricity increases greenhouse gas emissions by up to 11%. A gentleman called David Kennedy, who heads the statutory body advising the government on meeting its carbon reduction goals, he severely criticised the present government in its dash for gas through fracking. He said it would not be sensible or compatible with meeting carbon budgets and the 2050 target, and would damage investment in renewables. I mean, the UK target is to cut emissions by 80% by 2050 compared with 1990 levels. The Tyndall report, again from the University of Manchester, concluded that large-scale extraction of shale gas cannot be reconciled with climate change commitments to limit global temperature increases to 2 degrees C. In the UK context, shale gas could undermine the decarbonisation budgets proposed by the Committee on Climate Change. I mean, gas is sometimes advocated as a lesser evil because gas-fired power stations emit 57% less carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour than coal-fired plants. However, research has shown that shale gas has higher production-related greenhouse gas emissions than conventional gas. The greater venting of gas includes its damaging, fugitive, super-warming methane emissions, which are 23 times more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And this section I've described as in defence of NIMBYs, you know, not in my backyard. I mean, reserves of shale gas have been identified across swathes of Britain. 60% of the countryside could potentially be exploited for shale gas. That's trillions of cubic feet of shale gas that they believe is underneath. And these wells were actually spread like an octopus underground, under land and homes. So basically, companies could frack under your home without permission. And he said that to match what we get from the North Sea, we would need 10 to 20,000 wells in the British countryside. I mean, in the two main formations are the Bowland Shale in Lancashire, which is where my family are from, and also the Lancashire branch is obviously smack back in the middle of that, and the Weald Basin in Kent. So what sort of fracking has actually taken place in this country so far? Well, in the Fylde in Lancashire, as I said earlier, they started drill operations in March 2011, and there was two earthquakes, and therefore the energy company Quadrilla suspended fracking operations because of the link to these two earthquakes. In Barton Moss in Salford, Greater Manchester, test drilling started there late last year. And obviously there was protests against it, and they halted drilling there in July this year, but that's only a temporary halt. And again, in Bolcombe in West Sussex, drilling started in July and was suspended after protests in August 2013. I mean, the government has actually decided not to allow fracking in designated areas such as national parks and areas of outstanding natural beauty. Well, that must mean then they recognise that fracking will harm the environment and presents significant risks. So why is it appropriate anywhere in Britain's green and pleasant land? Oh, I just wanted to add something as well. It's actually in the south of England, they're not actually fracking for gas, but they're actually fracking for oil. That's the shale I referred to in southeast England. It's oil. I mean, the government at the moment is handing 50% giveaways to the gas industry. I mean, this is an industry that's forecast to have rising prices for decades. I mean, in the film The Gasland, it was described as fracking is drilling for natural gas in the least expensive way to make the highest profits. I mean, the government's actually streamlined regulation to speed up fracking exploration. But it is all short-termism, short-term profit before safety, regardless of any environmental and economic factors. It is a really resource-intensive process. I want to like back up with a bit of Marx and Engels. Well, Engels in particular now. I always like to get my quotes in. From the Dialectics of Nature. Engels wrote, "In short, the animal uses external nature and brings about changes in it simply by his presence. Man, by his changes, makes it serve his ends, masters it. This is the final essential distinction between man and other animals. And once again, it is labour that brings about this distinction." So I've just lost my place there. But actually, there was a report yesterday, energy security and innovation observation system for fracking is going to be introduced by the government, and this will cost the taxpayers £60 to £80 million. This is to basically tell the public that it's actually going to be safe. So actually, we will actually fork out our own pockets to actually subsidise that. And this section I want to call is called Gaia and Socialism. I mean, the Gaia theory is an hypothesis and isn't actually a scientific proven thing. Gaia represents the personification of the Earth, and the Earth as a self-regulating complex system. I mean, organisms interact with their inorganic surroundings on Earth to form a self-regulating complex system that contributes to maintaining the conditions for life on the Earth. And again, I want to go back to Engels, and he wrote, "Let us not, however, flatter ourselves overmuch on account of our human conquest over nature, for each such conquest takes its revenge on us. Thus, at every step, we are reminded that we by no means rule over nature like a conqueror over a foreign people, like someone standing outside nature, but that we, with flesh, blood and brain, belong to nature and exist in its midst, and that all our mastery of it consists in the fact that we have the advantage over all other beings of being able to know and correctly apply its laws." I mean, Marx again, he's an eco-socialist. I mean, he wrote, "Man lives on nature. It means that nature is his body, with which he must remain in continuous interchange if he is not to die. That man's physical and spiritual life is linked to nature means simply that nature is linked to itself, for man is part of nature." I mean, capitalism, the fracking thing, disrupts the link between humans and the rest of the natural world to the detriment of both. Marx sometimes called this the metabolic rift, an irreparable break in the coherence of social interchange prescribed by the natural laws of life. And Marx said, though, we must hand it down, the Earth that is, to succeeding generations in an improved condition. Again, Engels in the Dialectics of Nature, I mean, he said, we are getting to know both the more immediate and more remote consequences of our interference with the traditional course of nature. But the more this happens, the more will men not only feel, but also know their unity with nature. So just quickly back to the Promised Land Review, where I wrote at the end, can fracking be made safe and should we use it in socialism? I mean, as critical socialists, we do not oppose capitalist technology just because it is technology used by the capitalist class in the pursuit of profits. But what if in the pursuit of such profits, their technology destroys the world that we want to inherit as a world socialist society? Capitalism has raped, pillaged, plundered the Earth. Is fracking the last step? A step too far? Too fracking far? The Earth will be fracked by fracking, because there will be no Earth left for world socialism.
Alex, Steve, now I call upon Comrade Adam Buick to give some counter-arguments.
Adam. I'll start by taking up the last point mentioned by Steve about the attitude of socialists towards technology. I mean, we're not technophobes. On the contrary, I think we welcome technological development, because every development of technology makes the socialism all the more easy, because it means we can produce more with less labour. Now, technology, it's basically a tool, and like all tools, it can be misused. It can be used, for instance, at present, it's misused to exploit workers, and as has been pointed out, to degrade the environment. But it's not the technology itself that's to blame, but it's the use that's made of it under capitalism. To blame a particular technology as such, fracking is the one we're talking about today. As I said, it's to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So it's not technology itself that's to blame for endangering the health of workers or for polluting the environment and upsetting the ecology of the planet. Now, I'm not putting the case for fracking, I'm putting the case of not being against fracking necessarily. I agree with the quote that Steve gave from the article there, that if fracking can be made safe, and I don't see why it couldn't in principle be made safe. If it could be, then it's something that could be used in social. I mean, you know, imagine we've now got a socialist society, and the problem that we've got is still, you know, global warming, and global warming has been caused by you know capitalism, and it's continuing burning fossil fuels. So what we have to do is to phase out, you know, burning fossil fuels and find some more. Meanwhile, you're developing these renewable resources. And one of the things about renewable resources of energy, you know, wind power and sun power, they're not on all the time. So you have to have an energy system which will provide continuous energy. And of course, we could have another debate about this, about nuclear power. I mean, I'm prepared to debate with anybody in the party who's opposed to nuclear power. But I mean, these things, they and you know, GM crops, if you want to as well. But these things can be made safe. There's nothing in principle why they, you know, why they can't be. And if they can, that's what we should do. Now, Steve made a great play about this business about if you resort to fracking under capitalism, this will slow down the introduction and the progress towards developing, you know, alternative renewable sources of energy. This might well be true, but this is what it's like under capitalism. It's impossible to have a rational energy policy under capitalism because it all depends on the changing prices of. I mean, it was coal once, and then it was oil, and then it came coal again because the oil price went up. You know, now, as has been pointed out, the fracking in America has meant there's now a surplus of gas, so the price of gas is coming down. So some of the other developments are now no longer profitable because you know fracking is more profitable. Incidentally, Steve gave a definition from one of the Gasland films of what fracking was, but it wasn't a definition of fracking, was it? He said it's fracking is the extraction of gas at lowest possible cost for profit. But that's not what fracking is. Fracking is a technology of fracturing the earth to release gas and or oil. And I mean, he says he comes from Lancashire, where they have earthquakes which make the tea rattle on the table. Well, I come from South Wales. You know, I mean, there's plenty of coal mines and subsidence to go on there. So what would have happened if we'd had this debate 150 years ago? People would be saying, no, we mustn't have coal because it'll undermine the thing. It'll lead to the pollution. And it'll lead to coal tips and all this sort of thing. But well, that's what happened under capitalism. And so, as I said, you cannot have a rational energy policy under capitalism, and there's nothing much we can do about it. I mean, the people, I'm going to call them. Can I make this joke we invented in the pub? Not NIMBYs, but NUMBYs. Not under my backyard. These people is that's what they. I mean, if I was living in Balcombe, I might be a NUMBY as well. But what, they can protest as much as they like. It's not, fracking, if it's cheaper than anything else, it's going to happen under capitalism. If it's cheaper than renewable energy, that's what will happen. There's nothing that we can do about it. We can complain about it, but as I said, I can understand NIMBY NUMBY objection to it. I can't understand a technological objection to it. So if it's the end of the world. I mean, we've had these similar arguments, as I said, used against nuclear power. We've had these arguments used against GM crops. But both of these, all of these things, fracking, nuclear power, GM crops, they're all just technologies and techniques, which we could use in a socialist system of society. Now, what this article, which caused all the controversy about, so it's a Pathfinder's column in the Socialist Standard, which is not written by me, instead, but it's our science and technology column, if you like. And the article that was published in January last year answers some of the points that have been made against fracking. It says here, assuming that you've got to have now some sort of transition between burning coal and burning oil and developing renewable technology. You have to have some sort of transitional way of generating electricity, or of burning fuels to generate electricity. And this is what it says. If one is looking for a practical and immediate solution to an existing energy problem, fracking looks like being it. It is not clean, but it's 50% less carbon belching than coal. It is not easy to get, but it's getting easier. The much publicized fire faucets and poisoned water were almost certainly preventable accidents and cowboy carelessness at the wellhead rather than leaks from kilometres below the surface. And when we saw that film, Gasland 1, you saw all these things coming out of taps. But in any event, that's America, where people have their own, living in the middle of Oklahoma or wherever they were, they've got their own boreholes, which isn't the case normally in Britain. So that would be an exceptional thing that went on in America. And then this article goes on to say, now the talk is of bridging fuel to low carbon future, and it's renewables. Okay, fair enough. But I say the transitional thing would be something like fracking, or I think more likely nuclear power. And then, so this is what the article makes these technological points, and it says beyond this, it's not really for socialists to take a position on fracking, either pro or con. It's not a class issue after all. If regulated properly, which is a big if in some countries, it doesn't at present seem to be much of a case against it. It's true, this has been mentioned by Steve, that methane produces 25 times more global heating than carbon, and there is some early and tentative evidence that it might leak up through the soil. It's got from the New Scientist. But it's not a long-stay gas, so its effect is not likely to be as severe. If every new technology was abandoned directly, there was a small accident, we would not have cars, planes, electricity, or even steam power. Fracking is new, and the idea of blowing up the ground under our feet may seem intuitively alarming, but geologically speaking, it's fairly insignificant, unless some fool drills into an existing fault. So, the case for not opposing fracking, I'm not going for fracking, but it can be made, like was said at the end of that article, it can be made technologically safe. And if it can be made technologically safe, it's something we can use in a socialist society along with nuclear power to overcome this problem, which we'll probably inherit from capitalism, of global warming due to burning fossil fuels, or burning more polluting fossil fuels than gas. So that's the case for not being against, or not being against fracking. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I think now I'm inclined to open up the discussion to the floor. And then if there's any questions, we'll take a number of them, and then the two speakers can answer them perhaps a little later on, rather than answer each point as it comes up. So who wants to make the first contribution? Carla.
Okay, Adam, you said there were technologies. Well, there are certain technologies that are dangerous, potentially dangerous in themselves. The worst thing that could happen in a coal mine is that a few people die in an explosion. But if there are accidents, for instance, with nuclear technology, those accidents, and that can happen, no matter how safe you think you are, obviously under capitalism, because of the competition, safety standards will be much more relaxed. But even under socialism, there's the possibility of accidents, and those accidents are potentially catastrophic. So I don't agree with that. Also, fracking, I think it's probably not going to last very long because according to information I've been reading, that wells have an average of a life average of about 2 years. And also, there is seriously underestimated production costs. Okay, this is under capitalism. But also, companies in the USA are under no obligation to disclose what chemicals they use and in what amounts. And this deregulation has given the USA a huge advantage over more regulated fracking elsewhere. This in itself is a recipe for disaster, as in order to be competitive, other companies will have to relax their safety standards too. And it's the fossil fuel industries that oppose and hinder incentives for safe alternative forms of energy. They're going to work against it. To me, as socialists, if we can have the imagination to envisage a much better, fairer world, then I'm sure we can imagine and go for much safer forms of energy.
Okay. Anyone else? Bill.
Hi, Adam's head there. So, speaking as one of the sort of people who have no objection to destroying the world in the process of getting off it to find another planet to repeat the process on, I've just got a few points over here. Just before, I think. In the first instance, I think this is a fascinating example of what Marxing Volume 3 of Capital refers to as differential rent, where extraction of natural resources, the market value is of the most difficult to obtain that the market can bear. So if we're looking at fracking and shale gas coming online, that means that the other cheaper forms of gas have become unavailable. The price of gas in the market has risen to such an extent that these types of forms of extraction, relatively expensive though they are now viable. And I think that that is an interesting feature we need to look in on. And of course that means that we're into the question of rent and all sorts of questions about the labour theory of value. I think they have an interesting contribution to this discussion. And of course, under socialism, that means that what we would look at is not just the actual bare cost of extracting these things as the capitalists do, but the whole social cost and the cost of the environment that would be involved as well. And we would factor in these externalities if we were using fracking for ourselves. And the other interesting thing, I think, is about the NIMBYs and the fact that a Tory government is legislating away people's property rights. It's just driving a coach and horses through the eternal inalienable right of property that the Tories so-called espouse. And we should be jumping up and down from the rooftops and making as much out of this as we can. Not only because it just shows them up for the liars and the thieves that they are, but also because this is a great example of what Marx called primary accumulation, or what David Harvey calls accumulation by expropriation, that the oil companies are basically going to make their profits out of stealing other people's property. Because at the present moment, this building here that we own as a party, we own from the centre of the earth up into space and onto any future planet that we happen to touch on our way up there. And, you know, the government's going to say from now, if you've got shale gas under your property, that's it, you've lost it. Then that's fairly hilarious, I think. And I mean, a great example of how capitalism can keep on renewing itself, because it will always find some other source of theft and expropriation to use. And just finally, in terms of other technologies, we want to keep using electronics. If we want to keep on using electronics, then we're going to get access to gold. And if we want to get access to gold, we're going to have to use cyanide extraction. And if you want to think about what fracking does, then imagine what cyanide extraction does for getting hold of gold.
Okay. Yes, Howard.
A few comments. I think Freddie, you're not going to get many supporters. I'm afraid the argument about technology, that these are problems with the technology that can be overcome, and that, you know, if it can be made all right. It's a bit like the argument against gun regulation in the United States, which is the problem isn't guns, it's gunmen. Okay, unfortunately, it's a fact of this technology that it is accident prone. There's all sorts of problems. One of the difficulties about fracking in the UK as opposed to the United States is the Marcellus Shale has got very different geological structure, the structure of the United Kingdom. The area of the down in Kent and Sussex, where they're talking about fracking, predominantly chalk, which is full of faults. You can't frack there without the stuff escaping all over the place. But this hasn't stopped Quadrilla. It hasn't stopped Anglo-Celtic. It hasn't stopped the people that are doing it. They will do it. This is what will happen. Okay, it's like, for instance, you were talking about, you know, if we worried about accidents, we wouldn't have the motor car. Do you know how many people were killed on the roads in this country last year by motor cars? Exactly right. Okay, what we've done is, because we have this kind of, you know, invaluability of the motor car, we allow 4,000 people to be annihilated every year so we can carry on in the way that we do. You know, benefits all sorts of, you know, car companies and what have you, or expedience of capitalism. In actual fact, I think we have far too lenient an attitude towards the majority of technologies in our world, and I think being a little bit sharper with things like fracking might serve a salutary lesson. I mean, you suggested earlier on, if we worried about accidents, we wouldn't have exploited coal in the way that we did. Actually, maybe if we revisit history, that might not have been such a bad idea, given the environmental mess we're in at the moment. I think the kind of simple solutions we come up with, you know, that was a problem, it's not a problem. Actually, I think we ought to take a bigger picture view on this. Okay, there are some things that we do, and I think nuclear power is one. Funnily enough, I mean, there are lakes up at, what's it now called, Sellafield, Windscale, whatever it is, that are just full of low and medium grade nuclear waste that no one's found out what to do with yet. We're accumulating this stuff with half-lives of thousands of years and don't know what to do with it. Try visiting the area around Chernobyl. These things are accidents waiting to happen. And on the precautionary principle, it's insanity to plough ahead with fracking in any circumstance, unless you've got far better guarantees than we've got at the moment.
Okay, Jacqueline?
I'm also not convinced by any pro-fracking arguments. One, exploding underground, you know, what we walk on, we live on this earth. You know, would you go in your home and blow it up? No, you wouldn't. Why would you do that to earth? And of course, businesses, if there's a profit to be made, it will be going on all over the place, whether it's as suitable in their eyes or not suitable. The point is, though, that if you dig into the ground, you are going to hit the water table. Every tree on earth reaches down to the water table. The chemicals that are being used that we're not allowed to know what they are. If you're a horticulturalist, you can get a magazine called the Horticultural News. I don't know if it's still printed now, but it will tell you of all the poisons, all the toxins that the government secretly stops using. And it's the only place I know you can get it. You can probably get it online now. But if we're not told what chemicals are going in there, toxins, we know that the governments are not there for our health. They are there to make a profit and to uphold the interests of the capitalist class. Those who need to make a profit, and they need to. All these chemicals in the water table, it affects everything. Our food, it affects our air, the water is drawn up into the atmosphere, etc., etc. It affects the air we breathe. Plus, this government, as far as I know, and I've done a bit of research, this country is dotted with landfill sites. They don't even know where all of them are. If you're going to be fracking, are you going to frack away from a landfill site? You know, this is capitalism. It's going to be utter madness what is going on. We are opening up our own destruction. Those of us who want socialism, we are anti-fracking. It's got to be that way.
Okay.
Well, I wonder whether under socialism we need all the energy that at present is used by capitalism. There's so much waste.
That's a very good point.
The production of materials that we don't need. The mentioned the motor car, who needs the millions of cars that are produced throughout the world. And all we need is a means of transport from getting from A to B, B to C. We have the railway system, which serves the majority of people's needs. The point is that we have commercial travellers dashing up and down the country, demanding the need for petrol stations to fuel their vehicles. I often wonder why we did not develop hydroelectric power, which I understand has no adverse effects on the atmosphere, the soil, and produces adequate power to feed into the system. And as a result, we seem to have made it not a profitable proposition. So we've got the idea of fracking, which, as Jacqueline has mentioned, is liable to damage the earth. And once we've done that, there's no return ticket.
Well said. Very well said. I like that a little bit.
Okay. Well,
I'm kind of trying to formulate what I think about this. Like, I think it's more of a discussion than a debate, by the way, but having said that, I think at the moment I'm more in agreement with Steve and less, but I'm sort of agree with some of the things Adam says. What I will say, though, Adam, is I think your argument tends to put the kind of cart before the horse. You know, you say that what technologies will help us produce X and Y if they're used in a clean and irresponsible, you know, in a clean and safe and responsible and rationally planned way. Unfortunately, they're not, are they? The problem is you can't unpick technology from the, as Bill pointed out, you know, the class and economic relationships from which they spring and why they're used in the first place. You know, there has to be a sort of class dimension to all this, I think. I suspect, and I think Steve did a pretty good run through a lot of the available evidence, that fracking would cause a lot of short-term pollution and havoc. You know, and I think because of that, we should really be very, very careful about allowing various capitalist interests to use it. That, of course, is not to say that in a post-capitalist, rationally planned economy, we may not find a better way of using it. I think nuclear power, as you say, is a superb example of that. You know, in fact, I mean, I'd like to see plans as to how people want to maintain the same standards of living we have now, and to do so in a relatively clean, non-carbon-producing, you know, non-climate-changing kind of way without using things like nuclear power. I'd be pretty interested. You know, I mean, I think at least in the very short term, say the first 50 to 100 years after the end of capitalism, you'd have to start using more nuclear power. But anyway, that's by the by. Or maybe it's not. I mean, it seems absurd to say we're never going to use anything because there's a risk that there might be a catastrophe. You can't take the risk out of everything in any factor or sector of life whatsoever. I mean, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous to suggest that you wouldn't run nuclear reactor just because there's a possibility that you might have a Chernobyl type accident. Yeah, but then again, you might not. You know, and what are the odds? You know, that's the point. Then again, there have been perfectly valid points made as to would we need those levels of energy once a lot of the sort of excess production or whatever that isn't necessary for human survival under capitalism dropped off. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone's got any more thoughts along those sorts of lines. I mean, it's something I'm trying to sort of tease out myself, in other words, I argue with people. As you may know me, I have certain very sort of strident views on say, agriculture, you know, and I think I'll sort of wind up by sort of saying, you know, I'm very sceptical and scared of a lot of what I would see as the sort of anti-technological kind of environmentalist views about how we should organise society and how we should live. You know, I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to see a post-capitalist society as gnawing on turnips on the collective phone by candlelight, which I think a lot of people, if they want to get rid of all these some of these modern technologies, would have us from doing. So yeah, I'll say something again.
Okay.
Can I add some comments for that?
Well, is anybody else, before you come back, Howard and Jacqueline, is anybody else who wants to... See you, Mac.
I think that the negativeness of trade should be taken into account. The trade being negative of a country that is supposed to use fracking but is against environment, using fracking. I agree with Steve more than I that under capitalism we cannot use fracking. It's not safe.
Okay.